Today's Issues continues on AFR with your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Hey, welcome back, everybody, to the program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We'll be here for another 25 minutes talking about the news of the day. I'm Tim Wildman with Walker Wildman. Walker, what do we have posted on our Today's Issues Facebook page?
Well, we have the California State Senate leader, which
admitted Mr. DeLeon,
that half of his family is here illegally and they've obtained illegal documents. I also posted about the Secretary of Education vote that's going on right now in the Senate.
Are they voting right now?
Yes.
Betsy DeVos is up for
Education Secretary.
And it's likely to be 50-50 with Vice President Pence casting the deciding vote for her. We'll see if that happens so that she will be named to the cabinet of President, confirmed to be on the cabinet of President Trump as Secretary of Education. Dr. Ray Pritchard is co-hosting with me today. Ray is in Dallas, and he's the president and founder of Keep Believing Ministries. What's at your website, keepbelieving.com, Ray?
A ton of free biblical resources for pastors, Bible teachers, Christians, folks who want to grow in their faith. It's all free. It's here. Just come see us on the internet at keepbelieving.com.
Mm-hmm. And Steve Jordahl joins us from onenewsnow.com. Good morning, Steve.
Morning, Tim. Good morning, Walker. And good morning, Ray.
Good afternoon, Steve.
What do you got for us this morning, Steve?
Well, top of the page at onenewsnow.com, we're also pining on the what might happen with the vote on DeVos, although by the time you get there, we might have taken that story down because the vote might be done. But we also have a column by Donna Rice Hughes, who was asking Mr. Trump to stick to his promise to protect children on the internet. That's at the top of the page at onenewsnow.com. I've been looking at this, at the judge's order that I think you guys talked a little bit about this last hour. Donald Trump's travel restriction
executive order
is in front of a judge who has ruled that, not necessarily that it's unconstitutional, but he ruled that it affects people poorly. It affects certain people and he doesn't like the outcome. This is, in a nutshell, the difference between a constitutionalist, a strict constructionist like Neil Gorsuch, for example, or Antonin Scalia, or the kind of judges that Mr. Trump said he would appoint, and the kind of activist judges that had been appointed under President Obama. One is outcome-based.
This judge is appointed under President George W. Bush, by the way.
Thank you. That is true. But the judges seem to fall under one of two rubrics. Either they're interpreting the Constitution. They hold up the executive order. They hold up the Constitution and they say, "How does it disagree? Does it agree? This is how the court was supposed to act." The other one is more activist, where it's an outcome-based decision. The judge says, "You know what? This might be constitutional, but I don't like the way that it came out. I don't like the way that it's affecting."
Personally,
or popular opinion, or he sees one group as disadvantaged more than another group. It's the same thing you have oftentimes in schools, where you have outcome-based education. They don't really necessarily care if you learn the ABCs, as long as the outcome is equal for all. But with judges, it ends up being chaotic, which is what we've seen.
Yeah.
In this case, he's looking at the outcome of the law and saying, "I don't think the outcome is fair. Therefore, I'm going to say that we have to disband it." He never said it was unconstitutional.
Right.
We've listened, Ray, right, to the was it Ted Cruz?
Yeah, Senator Ted Cruz.
We had that.
He was quoting. You can play it if you want. We should probably. He was quoting the law which says that Mr. Trump has the right to do this. I found this.
Yeah, let me set this up. Excuse me, Steve. This is we played this yesterday, but it merits playing again. This is Senator Ted Cruz, and he's talking about the executive order, the travel restrictions / travel ban order on seven countries that President Trump issued last week, which is what we've been talking about, which the federal judge said, you can't do that, President Trump. So here's what Senator Cruz said about this.
But this order had explicit statutory authorization. Indeed, the text of Title 8 of the United States Code, Section 1182F, reads as follows, quote, whenever the president finds that the entry of any aliens or of any class of aliens into the United States would be detrimental to the interest of the United States, he may, by proclamation and for such period as he deems necessary, suspend the entry of all aliens or any class of aliens as immigrants or non-immigrants, or impose on the entry of aliens any restrictions he may deem to be appropriate.
Right there, that's the law. It's clear that the President of the United States has the authority to do what President Trump did.
Well, I thought it was so interesting, Steve, the way you put it, that the judge didn't argue that the law was unconstitutional because he really couldn't. The statute is perfectly clear. The president is given, and it doesn't matter whether it's Republican or Democrat,
no.
Right? President Obama had exactly the same latitude President Trump has. President can make those decisions. How then can a judge say, I don't like the result, therefore I'm going to overturn this ban and then apply it across the nation? Is that not an incredible case of judicial overreach?
Well, this is the philosophy of those that believe that the Constitution is a living, breathing document that changes along with the culture, along with the whim of whoever is looking at it at the time. Because what they say is, and this is kind of a theme of more progressive, liberal, leftist type thinking, we are more concerned with the outcome of the law. We don't want it to disparage a group. We don't want anybody to be impacted disproportionately. Whatever you have, that's what they're concerned with. They're not necessarily concerned with what does the law say. And
yeah,
that's the definition of activism.
Yeah, to prove that, you hear when Hillary Clinton and President and Trump, now President Trump, were debating in early November, I believe, or late October, they were asked about the Supreme Court, what qualifications do you look for to appoint a Supreme Court nominee? Well, Trump said we need someone who will uphold and defend the Constitution. Hillary Clinton, on the other hand, says we need someone who is in line with mainstream culture. And you also hear the same thing regarding Judge Gorsuch. The Democrats say we need a judge who is a mainstream judge. They never mention we need a constitutional judge.
Well, this will go to So this will go to the Ninth Circuit, and then they'll probably agree with the Seattle judge because it's basically a court of hippies in San Francisco, right?
I think they're based in San Francisco. Yeah. The Ninth Circuit covers Washington, Oregon, California, Arizona, and I believe Hawaii.
We'll just say yes. They're all hippies.
Yes, they're all hippies. they're the most overturned federal court in the country, and this will probably go to the Supreme Court, and we'll see what they have to say about this law, and whether the president of the United States, if the president of the United States, as I said, does not have the authority. Can you imagine, folks, in a time of war? What if we go to war, and then the precedent is that the president, he doesn't have any say in who can and cannot come in.
So our foreign enemies can come into our country. They're welcome.
He doesn't. President, well, who does?
We are at war.
With jihad.
Right.
There's been
a war declared
against us.
Yeah.
That's the reason that President Trump is doing what he's doing, to protect the country by talking about these countries. I don't know why Saudi Arabia is not on that list, by the way.
So this is what's going to happen. The Ninth Circuit will take a look at this. The arguments were due there. They're having arguments today, oral arguments today on this. I don't believe we're going to hear from the Ninth Circuit today necessarily. It could happen, but I don't believe we're going to hear from them today on their decision. But likely, because it's the Ninth, they're going to rule that they're going to uphold the lower court judge saying that the travel restrictions are off, that anybody can come in, that the president does not have the right. In that case, the government will appeal to the Supreme Court. Now, we have eight justices right now on the Supreme Court. We have three fairly consistent conservatives. We have four fairly consistent liberals, and then we have one swing vote. And really, I don't know where Justice Kennedy stands on this kind of an issue. He has at times voted with conservatives on things, so he might. And if it ends up to be a 4-4 tie, in any case, it doesn't look good, because a 4-4 tie or a 5-4 defeat means that the Ninth Circuit decision stays.
5-3.
Would stay intact.
Yeah, let's see what happens. You're listening to the radio program Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Ray, what do you make of this confrontation between President Trump and the Ayatollahs of Iran?
Well, for once, we have an American president who is willing to call them out, right? Rather than ship them the, 450, whatever that, you know, the money secretly. I think this is one time where President Trump very clearly is doing exactly what he was elected to do. He is standing up to them. And there's a little bit of a Twitter fight going on back and forth, if you can imagine that. But at least the Iranian leaders know now there's not, they have somebody in the White House that they're not going to be able to roll over. So this is a true crisis situation. And I guess the crisis will be precipitated, Tim. You know, this started when they did that missile test a few days ago. I mean, it didn't start that, but that's sort of what's brought it to the surface. If they do another missile test in the next week or two, then how are we going to respond? Big question.
This is the, what President Obama faced when he drew his famed red line in the sand. I believe it was over Syria. And Syria flouted whatever he dared them to do, and he had nothing to respond because he wasn't willing to back it up. Mr. Trump was not quite as specific about what on notice means, but I have a feeling he's going to back it up with economic sanctions. Who knows what else?
Well, he's already done that. I don't know what authority the president – I don't know to what extent sanctions can be invoked by the president, but he's already done that. Against, I don't know what that means exactly, sanctions. How can sanctions hurt them when they've already got the Iranian nuclear deal that President Obama signed? They got all the money in the trade and everything's moving on. I don't understand. You understand that at all? Or does that get too boring, Ray?
It's hard to understand, Tim, what's really going on here. But don't we all agree that if they cross the line, if Iran crosses the line, I mean, we're not going to send in the troops. That's not going to be the first response to the missiles or anything like that. But I don't think – I think the days of John Kerry sweet-talking the Iranians and begging, please be nice, I think those days are over.
Yeah, I don't – I agree. I don't know what this looks like exactly. I tell you, one concern I have about President Trump on this is – and I mentioned this before, and I've liked almost everything he's done so far. I do not want my president tweeting about Iran. Y'all may disagree with me on this. This is serious stuff. This isn't domestic political fighting about the budget or spending or even a cabinet.
It's dangerous stuff.
It's dangerous stuff. It's dangerous here's what I'm afraid can happen. We see what happened with President Obama. He drew the red line in the sand in Syria and said, if Syria does such and such, America will respond. Well, Syria did such and such, and America didn't respond. And it made us look very, very weak and made President Obama look impotent. Well, I'm afraid I don't want President Trump boxing himself in on a tweet or something against Iran and then feeling like he's got to send the military to do something so he can save face. You understand what I'm saying?
Oh, sure. And we've said before, Tim, the country does not want another. We don't want to go to war, right? I don't think anybody...
Well, Iran, you can't go to war practically. So what are you going to do, invade Iran?
Right.
You can drop some bombs, but, I mean, go ahead.
Well, right there, Tim, is the problem the president faces. What is he going to do? It's either military, it's either political or economic, or you go to a military solution, and there really isn't a good military solution.
There's not, and I just don't want President Trump to do something like, oh, yeah, Well, let me tell you something, Mr. Ayatollah. We're coming after you.
I don't think he can. I mean, he
you don't
can
think
order.
What can? Who
I
can?
Think he can order some stuff, but he has shown, at least with military, that he has decided to surround himself with some very respected and I don't want to say he's not, but some stable thinking people. And I think he defers to them. Whether he says something inappropriate or not on Twitter, of course, is a whole other matter. But whether or not we send troops in, I think that's not something that he would necessarily go off the handle
Steve, it's something like this, that he tweets something about or he tweets something about Iran that's provocative. And then they respond by what? Launching a missile on Israel? I mean, I don't think they would do that, but you don't know what the other side would do. Then what does the president do?
I guarantee you, Ray, Israel has a flight plan, a target map, and they know exactly where the nuclear reactors are. And if they even look like that was possible, there would be some Israeli planes in the sky
in the
to
air.
Take that out.
Yeah.
Yeah. You understand what I'm saying?
Sure.
President Trump. I think we view Twitter as this kind of like a hangout spot where you let your thoughts known in 140 characters. I think Trump views Twitter and Facebook as kind of his – that's where he does his press releases, so to speak, but they're very blunt and they're directly from him.
Well, they're 141 characters.
Right.
Got to be kind of blunt,
don't
you?
And so I don't know if he put out a press statement from the White House – saying some of the stuff that he says on Twitter, I think it would be appropriate. But we've asked for Obama to be tough on Iran for 8 years, and he hasn't. And I think Trump is finally being tough on them as far as rhetoric goes. But this is traditional international politics. You have to kind of trade punches back and forth.
Well, I don't mean to be pessimistic, and I'm not a military person, nor am I a national security expert. But my own view on this is we can't do squat to stop Iran from building a nuclear weapon. There you go. That's what I think.
Well, if that's the case, then we're in trouble.
Yeah. I have read a lot about this. They're building their weapons in bunker buster proof facilities all over their country. You can't go in there and take them out with traditional.
Right.
And that's assuming your jets won't be
shot. It's a very complicated situation.
That's assuming your jets won't be shot down. That's why, I guess, the only leverage you really had against Iran was money and isolating them from the world community. Well, President Obama did away with that. He welcomed them and sent them a bunch of money. At some point, you just got to say, whose side are you on?
But I think before the Iran deal, we had the upper hand, and we could have done more to prevent
leverage.
Them.
You had some leverage. And President Obama did away, in my opinion, did away with all that leverage. To what end, I don't really know to what his point was.
How did that help us?
Huh?
How did that help us?
Yeah, I mean, really. But anyway, here's what President Trump tweeted about Iran on February the 2nd. Iran has been formally put on notice, in all caps, for firing a ballistic missile. Should have been thankful for the terrible deal the U.S. made with them. And then he tweeted February 2nd, 5:39 a.m., Iran was on its last legs and ready to collapse until the U.S. came along and gave it lifeline in the form of Iran deal, $150 billion, which is what we said earlier. So I'm just saying, to me, I don't want to see President Trump, as much as I've liked almost everything he's done, I don't want to see tweets on Iran. That's not the appropriate place for tweets.
He did one about 5 hours ago. He says, I don't know Putin, have no deals in Russia, and the haters are going crazy, yet Obama can make a deal with Iran, number one in terror, comma, no problem.
He's got a good point.
Yes, he does.
With respect to President Trump and Vladimir Putin, the Russian leader, right, the media and the Democrats and his fellow Republicans, are trying to box him in a relationship before he ever gets started. In other words, when Hillary Clinton became Secretary of State under Obama 8 years ago or 9 years ago, she went to Russia and they set the reset button. You remember that?
Yeah, very awkward reset.
Yeah, it was a reset. Yeah. In other words, but President Obama So President Obama wasn't asked to condemn Vladimir Russia. Putin altogether and call him nasty names and everything before the relationship ever developed.
Right.
So we all know what Vladimir Putin's record is with a lot of things around the world. But does that mean that President Trump ought to derail any kind of potential relationship with him before he ever meets with him? You see what I'm saying? I don't think that's a fair place to put Mr. Trump. What do you think about that, Ray? What do you think about that?
I mean, I think the idea, Mr. Trump's comments about we need to work with the Russians where we can, that's exactly right. Correct? I mean, we all agree. We ought to try to work with them where we can. I didn't think his comments to Bill O'Reilly that assumed a kind of moral equivalence between the U.S. and the Russians were particularly helpful. But still, the big point is, yes, work with the Russians where you can, especially if you can work together to stop ISIS in the Middle East.
Yeah. Now, let me ask you this, Ray. I've always been curious. You've studied and been to China. I asked this. I was talking to our staff yesterday about this, and this is probably a half an hour discussion, but you have 90 seconds, Ray, to answer this.
Okay.
Define world peace.
That's right.
Why is it always on America to deal with bad players like Iran and North Korea and such? Well, the Chinese, they don't have anything to say about Iran developing a nuclear weapon when they're in Asia with them. The Russians, they don't have anything to say about Iran developing a nuclear weapon with all these crazy mullahs in charge, and they're over there with them in that part of the world. Why don't you hear anything from Russia or China on this?
Well, Steve, I'm going to yield back part of my time to you, but maybe we're the only country that will get involved. I mean, maybe the Chinese, which is the most populous nation on earth, maybe they just say Iran won't dare mess with us, so we're not going to worry about them. I don't know.
Yeah. Well, America is the great Satan to the Muslim world. We're the great enemy. And I think Russia and China, South Korea, some of these others, they're not Iran's top enemy. We are.
Right.
Why?
And so they did, because we're a Christian nation. And they're a Muslim nation, and their religion teaches to hate the infidel.
I believe that Russia and China probably, I think they have. I know Russia has weighed in, but they're coming in on the side of Iran. Here's the thing.
Okay, yeah. Does that make any sense to you?
Yeah, they feel that they can control, if they have a relationship with Iran, and they're going to build these nuclear weapons, that they can control the outcome of that. You remember Hillary Clinton, when she was in the State Department, sent tons of uranium to Russia.
Yeah.
Right.
That Russia could be very well sending it right on to Iran, as far as we know. So
you're saying Russia's good with Iran having nuclear weapons?
I think they are. It's part of their strategic plan for that region.
Russia's not a Muslim country.
It falls to us because we're the only people on this side of that issue,
right.
the big superpower on this side of that issue.
I just don't understand how Russia and China can be over there in that part of the world, and they're okay with Iran having
because Iran doesn't want to wipe out Russia and China. They want to wipe out Israel.
But they may change their mind tomorrow. If they get nuclear weapons, they may say, well, we'll take out Moscow tomorrow.
Yeah.
I just don't. Anyway, it doesn't make much sense to me. World Affairs, the conversation is concluded. Is Betsy DeVos going to make it?
Well, it's 50 no, 49 yes. There's one Republican, I believe, still yet to vote 50. Okay, Betsy DeVos has been confirmed pending a vote by Vice President Pence.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey, folks, thanks for joining us. Check out our Today's Issues Facebook page, and we'll see you back here tomorrow. We'll